This is Alan Karpik with Ben Jones, 39 years young. I know I always pacify folks by saying they look exactly the same, but he does look exactly the same. As we realized, I think we first got to know Ben in 2003 when he came to Purdue from Butler. But first of all, happy birthday. All birthdays are good. And when you if it's your 39th birthday, that's the Jack Benny birthday. So that's the one that for the next milestone. But all good from that standpoint.
Yes.
I think that's a good way to look at it. And you have, I always ask about birthday traditions or things that you did growing up in Zionsville or that you'll do today. Is there a favorite food or something that your family did growing up?
I mean, with kids, things change. Tonight, my wife and I are going to go out to dinner. We'll notoriously do a birthday dinner, whether it's on my birthday or the weekend before or after. And then my parents are close by, which is a blessing with two young kids. And we'll do a dinner with them. I think we're going to do that tomorrow night. We may just go cook out at their place. We may go out to dinner. That has not been decided, but we always get together and, you know, celebrate and just catch up. And, you know, as these birthdays, the numbers get higher,
yeah,
you appreciate them a little more. So I think, especially after what the world's gone through in the last 18 months, getting together with families has a little bit more meaning. And so we definitely make that effort to get together and just, you know, spend time together.
Yeah, I think that's a well said and very true, because something we are not going to take for granted. Never should have probably in the first place, but
right.
I think it's real. Now, 3.5-year-old son Beckett, 2-year-old son Caden, man, you don't have them all that well spaced out. So you guys got your hands full. Any athletic careers early on, like to kick the football around? Or are you that far along yet?
So the oldest is he's into baseball right now. You know, we have the big wiffle ball, the big bat. And then right before COVID, the kicking coach that I worked with prior to Purdue and at Purdue sent me like a kid's uprights.
Yeah.
And so we would, you know, kick the footballs, and that we have a basement, kicking our footballs through the uprights. And there's an interest there. It's not a daddy, let's go downstairs and kick footballs interest yet. He's also 3.5.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, I mean, it's funny because he loves Purdue, as crazy as that sounds. I mean, my in-laws are a Purdue family. They have season tickets. There's a running joke with my father-in-law that, you know, at one point he probably booed me. But so, you know, they know we have a whole thing on Friday morning when we eat breakfast, we play music, kind of celebrate the end of the week. And obviously the Purdue fight song is on the playlist, and they know the oldest knows the words and knows when to boiler up and all of that. So,
oh man.
But yeah, you know, there's definitely a sports interest. You know, we get after dinner, we get home, you know, they get home from school, we eat dinner and we go out in the yard, and it's either soccer, or, you know, football, baseball, I mean, whatever. At this point, it's just, I want them active and involved. You know, we'll eventually get to the point where they get sports specific, but I want to push that out as far as possible. I mean, I played 3 sports my senior year in high school. And so I think there's value in that. I think right now in today's day and age, you have, you know, single sports for kids that are 8, 9, 10, and you know, they get burnt out, and then by the time they get to high school, they're just done.
Did you grow up playing soccer? I mean, growing up in Zionsville, obviously a great soccer town, et cetera.
Yeah, so I grew up, that was my sport. I wanted to be a professional soccer player. I was a goalie. And so it just all kind of my senior year, I did soccer and football in the fall, and then played baseball in the spring. And my kids are in soccer shops. It's like a kids, you know, thing, but they do it at school once a week and they love it. And so I just want them active and involved with that. I mean, they'll end up gravitating towards something. It doesn't have to be football. I mean, I didn't kick a football seriously until I was a senior in high school, and it turned out all right for me.
Yeah. tell your story is an amazing one because you went to Butler, and Purdue had two guys, nothing against Butler, great school, and two guys in that era, Seth Morales also matriculated from Butler to Purdue.
Brandon.
And Brandon as well. That's right. And Brandon, I'm drawing a blank on the last name.
Johnson.
Yeah, right. Defensive lineman. And no, but you come in 2003, Purdue in 2002, had some disappointment from a kicking standpoint. You come in and have one of the best seasons, if not the best season in the history of Purdue football from a kicker standpoint. What was that mentality like for you to come up here? And I mean, kicking is kicking, but you got to get out there and make them. Take us back to that time frame and your mindset winning that job in 2003.
So I think, obviously we competed in the spring and in fall camp. And at that point, I didn't know what to expect. It was almost like I was naive. And so I just went out there and did what I thought was the right thing to do, just kick. I didn't think about really anything else. And I think, that was a blessing in a way because there was no expectations. I was this walk-on kid who had a big leg, and it turned into something pretty special. And the mentality side, it was just, kind of a one kick at a time. I think Mark Hagan who is my position coach here, and I'm so excited to have him back. That was the best hire of the Jeff Brohm era. He just kind of let me, he didn't micromanage me. He let me do my thing. And I think knowing I had trust just gave me that much more confidence. And I think it helped that I made my first, 8 or 9 or 10. I don't remember the exact number, but I made at least the first 8. I know that.
Yeah.
And so then your confidence is high. And as a kicker, confidence is everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a golfer. You have a good hole and you go to that next hole and you're sky high.
Yeah.
Well, when you're making kicks, it's easy. It's when you miss 2 in a row is where the mental aspect really comes into play, and you got to trust yourself. So, it was one of those, I was exceeding expectations just by being on the field. And so I was enjoying it. But I also wanted to perform, and it worked out. And I think, Joe Tiller he kind of let me do the same thing too. He was just like, hey man, you got here all by yourself. We didn't recruit you. We didn't give any money. You figured out how to get here. If you keep doing your thing, and we're not gonna mess with you. And it worked out.
It's funny because Joe Tiller had a public disdain for kickers that I don't think is really true. Though you were more, you were far from your typical kicker, I think. It was always funny, though Joe was great at having fun with the media on that. Did you ever see that side of him, even in a joking standpoint, in terms of how he viewed punters and kickers back in the day?
I mean, it was every once in a while. It was more Jim Chaney.
I'm sure.
The spring before, he called me every small school in Indiana except Butler. Like, that was my spring practice. Wabash. I mean, but it was all with a smile on their face. And, I had a good relationship with Joe. We'd go and we'd sit and we'd talk in the office for 30 minutes about nothing but football. He'd tell me jokes and we'd talk life. And I ran into him at a tailgate probably about a year before he passed away. And we sat there and talked for 30 minutes and just talked about the good old days and life now. And so I will always have a soft spot in my heart for that guy because he gave me a shot. And that meant the world.
Yeah, Jim Chaney put the B in bullying, you could do it. But love Jim Chaney.
Honestly, it's
never been around anybody like him. So
yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah. All right. Let's take the highs and lows of kicking. I mean, and what might be your message when your boys are old enough to know that you obviously. Every kicker goes through highs and goes through lows. You have the great kick against Wisconsin. You have ones that he didn't miss that many, but sure, against Ohio State the same year and in overtime didn't go in. And what do you tell them? What, in terms of that, what is that takeaway?
I think in life, you're going to have highs and lows. You know, you're going to have times when, you know, work's going fantastic or your family life's going fantastic. And you enjoy that part of it.
Yeah.
But the lows will come. It's just, it's the nature of the beast. Bad days, bad weeks, you know. And so I think you try not to get too high or too low. My dad always told me it's never as good as you seem, and things are never as good as they seem, but they're also never as bad as they seem.
Yeah.
And so I think you just take that with swallowing the up and down of life and dealing with that. Like, you know, especially if my kids play soccer, I'm sure there'll be good games where they come off the field and their confidence is super high. And there's you know, games where they don't play well, or they miss the free throw, or they, you know, turn over the ball or whatever. And it's just one of those, like, that's part of it, but you need to learn from it and grow and move on and practice. And so I think that honestly has prepared me for life. Just in general of, you know, life goes like this and I try and stay like this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, the lows suck. Don't get me wrong. like you let people down. But at the same time, that's what the job description was. I mean, yeah. I knew that if I missed a kick, that was it. People weren't going to like me. They were going to say I suck.
Yeah.
But the same people, when I make the kick, are going to be the ones screaming the loudest and cheering the hardest for Purdue. And, you know, it's part of it. If you can't handle it, don't sign up.
Yeah, good point. All right, tell me, is there a good inside story or a funny story about sometime when you forgot your shoe or when you lined up for a kick, maybe against Wisconsin? Is there anything that happened that was I'm taking you back to the 2003 kick when you beat the Badgers, the last time Purdue beat Wisconsin, God forbid. Any funny stories? Because kickers have them, and there's always things that happen that you had to adjust to.
So, I don't know about funny, but so it was the Capital One Bowl.
Yeah.
We just come back. We hadn't tied Georgia yet, but we got the ball back. We're driving down. And then, you know, I have to trot out there for a 44-yarder, 46-yarder with less than a minute to tie the game. And, you know, I had a routine with Kyle Smith, and we always would, like, knuck right before. And we whiffed, like. And they caught it on TV. If you watch the game of the replay, I got to go back for it. And it was, like, one of those things. I was like, no, like, we got to get this right. But funny, I guess another funny story would be I never wore a mouth guard.
Yeah.
Ever. And so we got to kick off the same game, start of the game against Georgia, and the ref's like, where's your mouth guard? And I was like, what are you talking about? I don't even have one. So I had to run over, and Will Bach handed me his mouth guard, and I threw his mouth guard in my mouth, went back out there and kicked off, start the Capital One Bowl.
And I love that.
Cut me up this super small one that I could just throw in the front of my mouth for the rest of the game. But that was the only game in my 3-year career that I ever wore a mouth guard.
What league was it? Was it obviously a different, it wasn't an SEC or Big Ten officials, I assume.
Yeah, so I don't remember. It might have been a Pac-10 officiating.
They never called you on that before.
I was like, where's your mouth guard? And I was like, I've kicked off this entire year and I've never worn a mouth guard. He's like, go get a mouth guard. So I went over there and Will Bach just pulled it out and handed it. I was like, well, here we go. I'm still alive today.
Yeah, there you go. All right, you got what's keeping Ben Jones busy? I know you've had a successful career. Tell us about what your day job is, and how that is in your life these days.
So right out of Purdue, I started in residential real estate. So I've literally been doing that 15 years almost to the day. I have a team of four, so I'm like the lead agent, and then I have three below me. Two of them are like true full-time selling agents. One is more of like an admin. She's fully licensed, so she can do everything I needed to, show homes, write contracts, you know, whatever needs to be done. So, yeah, it's going well. We, in 2020, we sold over $23 million. And then this year's off to another strong start. I guess we're over halfway there, but things are going well. I don't see myself changing anytime soon. I've honestly helped a lot of former teammates, a lot of new people, friends from Zionsville. And so it's, I'm lucky enough to be in a place where I grew up, where I have the relationships, but at the same time, you still have to perform when, you know, they ask you to buy or help them sell a house. And so I'm 95% referral based, and it works out well. It gets busy and crazy sometimes, especially in the evenings when kids are, you know, I got like this 90-minute window with my boys before it's books and bed. But that's also a lot of time when communication happens with clients because they're getting off work, et cetera, or need to show homes. But thankfully, my wife is amazing. She understands that when, you know, if I need to step away and take a call or send an important text or an email, that's part of my job. And she totally gets it.
Crazy housing market too right now. I mean, I mean, it's like up at least in West Lafayette. I know it's that way in Indianapolis, et cetera, just and around the country. How long do you think this lasts?
So I think, you know, I lived through the financial crisis. I mean, so that was pretty much right after I started. It's a different feel than that. All these buyers are very well qualified. They have the cash to close. They have cash to cover appraisal gaps, cash for repairs. And so I think it's honestly more of a supply and demand issue. So I think once things start to catch up on a supply side, we'll see that, or interest rates start to rise. Because right now, the majority of buyers, not every buyer, but especially first time home buyers and even second time home buyers, they're buying on a monthly payment. They're not buying on a price. And so when rates tick up, their purchasing power drops. And so if rates rise, I think you'll start to see a more sideways movement in prices with more of the standard Indiana 2-4% appreciation versus this 9-14, depending on what part of the state you're in. So I think, when does that end? I don't know. I mean, I think next year will still be another strong year, but I think once rates rise, I mean, I was reading something the other day, and the only way for this to literally slow down in 30 to 60 days is everyone lists their house at once, which isn't going to happen because everyone's refinanced these uber low rates.
Yeah.
Or rates go to 5%, which isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And so I think we got another 18 to 24 months. And then my hope would be it's just more of a sideways gradual versus a, you know, this things don't go up forever. Let's be honest. So at some point it will slow down.
Yeah. Been crazy. All right. Well, hey, have a great 39th and enjoy your family and your folks tomorrow as well. Or when you get a chance to be together. I hope we'll see you. I would think we may see you in Ross.
I'll be up there this fall. I promised my oldest that he can go to his first game. So
That's a good one. The Boilermakers. It's going to be an interesting year. It always is, and you'll be watching what will be a challenging year for Jeff Brohm and company. But there's always potential, and that's a good thing. So hey, have a great rest of your day, Ben. Thanks so much for your time, and we will talk. Hopefully, in Ross Aid Stadium before long.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Thank you.